Hey Don, thanks for the great intro and thanks Lynn for those awesome lead-in songs. Let's take a minute now and say hi to everybody. We'll chat a bit. Turn it back over to you, Lynn, for our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Awesome. Thanks, Lynn, and welcome again, everyone. I want to share the statement of purpose of awakening together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. I'm going to highlight the second core value of the core values of awakening together. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each other to be where he or she is. And a special shout out to Shauna there, sitting in La Vida next to Cheryl there. Hey, how you doing? Cheryl's going to soon be my roommate, as she is already living in the house, or just about to anyway, within a day or so. She's got to get a bed. So I'm really looking forward to get to know you more, Shauna, and taking this next journey of our path together. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Some announcements for today. Again, just to echo once more, as Don already shared, I don't know if I need to redo the Revolver announcement, but maybe just a thought that I really enjoyed that movie. It was the most action-filled sort of enlightenment movie you'll ever probably find. They really did throw a lot of the main themes of awakening into that film. All the themes really are there. It's awesome. And I can't watch that movie enough. It's really almost like a Holy Spirit teaching in a way to come back to over and over. So moving on to other announcements, in late June and early July, back in 2018, this was a big fire in Colorado. It burned 109,000 acres. That's around La Vida. But La Vida didn't burn, but it is around the area that's near where our retreat house is and also where my house is. During the fire, the ground was scorched, leaving it black as like concrete. And the rainwater doesn't absorb into the land anymore. So what's happening is it rolls off the mountains and then goes into the creeks and overfloods the creeks. And so it's a real threat to La Vida. Now, FEMA does this modeling, and they show that there's a 100% chance of flooding over the next several years unless flood mitigation is implemented immediately. So the area of La Vida where the retreat house is, and also right where I live too, is actually not in the flood area of La Vida. It's one of the small area of La Vida that's not in the flood area. So we're fine, but it's high on top of a hill. But to help, you know, the rest of the community, Awakening Together is offering two special meditation and mitigation retreats, one in February and one in March. At these retreats, you'll join with Regina each morning for inspiration and meditation. Then following the spiritual advice of Nisargadatta Maharaj, you will focus on I Am presence throughout the day while volunteering for flood mitigation work in the town of La Vida. Each evening, retreat participants will join with Regina to discuss their experience of active meditation throughout the day. Each retreat is Sunday through Friday. The first retreat is February 24th to March 1st. The second retreat is March 24th to 29th. Mitigation work will occur on Monday through Friday. Sunday is reserved for a day of contemplation, meditation, and inspiration prior to beginning volunteer work on Monday. There are no costs for these retreats. Lodging fees, however, do apply. The February retreat comes right after our February natural meditation retreat, which was announced in this morning's daily update. So you could fly once and attend both retreats easily in February. Love to see you guys there for that. So for full details about all of these retreats, just look under our website and go under retreats and classes menu. And that's awakening-together.org. Our last announcement is regarding our MPP class. It's the Tao Te Ching class that's now open for registration. And this is the ancient teaching. Actually, I've got the book here. I can't find it immediately, but it's actually Regina is offering a class as well. I would hold it up in front of the camera, but it's actually a classic from the land of China, the East, from ancient times. And one of the things Regina said, if she's going to be left on a desert island and could take one book with her, she would choose the Tao. And it's spelled T-A-O, but pronounced like a D, Tao. In class, we will contemplate the Stephen Mitchell translation, which is one of the early, easier versions to read and contemplate. And yet it enables us to dive deep into the wisdom of the Tao. This is a four-week class, and all 81 chapters of the Tao are contemplated and discussed through this class. The cost is $80. For more information and to register, go to awakeningtogether.org and look at online classes under Retreats and Classes menu. So with that, join me in a prayer as we go within. Dear God, infinite being and love, presence, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts and our minds to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from the one true source as my only guide. I put forth my trust and my willingness to walk the path of purification and healing that may make the way clear to live in presence and abide in self eternally. Amen. Okay, back to you, Lynn, for our song. Thank you.
yourself living in a shotgun shack, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and you may find yourself in a beautiful...
Hey, can everybody hear me? Is Lynn, do you have you not have internet there? I think we may be just coming back to the...
Oh, sure. I don't know what happened. It was working fine earlier. Oh, there it is.
You got it?
Where is that large automobile? And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. Same as it ever was. House. You may ask yourself, where does that holly go to? And you may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong? And you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done?
Awesome, Lynn. This is not my life. Wait a minute. This is not my life. Hold on a minute. All right. Let's move on. Here we are. Inspirational reading. Cheryl Kaplan has agreed to be my reader today. She will be reading a section called The Natural Condition. This is The Transparency of Things, a book many of you are familiar with by Rupert Spira. Ironically, and perhaps intentionally, that song, in a way, does go very well with this reading. So, Cheryl, turning the mic over to you.
Thank you, Jay, and good morning, everyone. Good to see all your beautiful, shiny faces. The natural condition. Consciousness is naturally one with all things. It is one with the totality of experience. However, at times, consciousness contracts itself, shrinks itself into a body, and this self-contraction requires constant maintenance. Left without maintenance, the self-contraction gradually unwinds, and consciousness returns to its natural condition. Desiring and fearing are two of the main ways that consciousness maintains its self-contraction as an apparent separate entity. As soon as a desire is fulfilled, it comes to an end. The end of the desire is the end of the maintenance of the self-contraction. And as a result, consciousness returns to itself. That is, it experiences again its own unlimited nature. This experience is called happiness. Consciousness does not, in fact, return to itself. It just recognizes itself. It knows itself again as this unlimited openness, welcoming sensitivity. It no longer pretends to be other. It no longer hides itself from itself. Consciousness has become so accustomed to shrinking itself into the frame of a body and a mind that the release from this self-contraction is often accompanied by a sense of elation or expansion. However, as consciousness becomes more and more accustomed to abiding in and as itself, as it no longer pretends to be a separate entity and to go out of itself in search of itself, this natural abidance in and as itself becomes normal and ordinary. In fact, it is the self-contraction, which once seemed to be so normal and ordinary that now becomes extraordinary. Blasphemy is the claim that, in quotes, I am God. However, the separate entity is entirely non-existent. So there is no question of its being God or anything else for that matter. The real blasphemy is to think, in quotes, I am a separate entity. With that thought, consciousness denies its own unlimited, universal sovereignty. And I looked up what the word sovereignty means, the supreme power or authority. It surrenders its freedom. It is its freedom to do so. Out of this freedom, consciousness projects the mind, the body, and the world through the faculties of thinking, imagining, sensing, and perceiving. In the natural condition, this projection is known and felt to be taking place within consciousness, and every part of it is known and felt equally as an expression of consciousness, as consciousness itself. However, at times consciousness divides the totality of experience into two camps. Everything that is part of the, in quotes, not me camp is called the world. Everything that is part of the, in quotes, me camp is called body-mind. It is with the thought and feeling, I am not this, and that was in quotes, that consciousness projects the world outside itself. And it is with the thought and the feeling, I am this, that consciousness simultaneously identifies itself with and thereby limits itself to a body mind. This cycle of projecting the mind, body, and world every morning and withdrawing the projection every night, as well as many other times during the day, continues in exactly the same way, even when consciousness has come to recognize its own unlimited freedom. What ceases is consciousness' habit of identifying itself with one part of the projection and separating itself from another. The thought and feeling, in quotes, "I am this part of my projection, but not that part," end of quote. "I am the body, but I am not the world," ceases. It may continue to project an image of a separate entity with its own life story from time to time, but it no longer limits itself to this projection. Even if it reappears from time to time, it is quickly recognized as an old habit that is not substantiated by actual experience, and it is abandoned. There is nothing wrong with the projection of a separate entity. It is essential for many aspects of life. It is only the exclusive identification with it that is problematic. As consciousness sees clearly that the entire spectrum of this projection takes place within itself, it no longer separates it into me and other. It sees all things in and as itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was beautifully read. And I think, like me, you all here that were listening could hear the power of that teaching, particularly the part that talks about freedom and what our freedom really is. Because that is what happens when we open our heart to God, when we open our heart to love. The mechanism that we engage in to limit our freedom is, as described in this section, is the condensation and the movement of, you know, identifying with the body-mind. And because that produces an unconsciousness that's within the mind that you don't become, you shut off awareness to. Since all energy must express, all energy has to move somehow, the mechanism of projection occurs. And Jung originally presented this to the world in a sort of non-religious, sort of generic way that talks about the shadow self. And it's the process of attributing our own unconscious qualities and held attitudes and so forth to another. Whether that's someone that you look up to and that you're projecting good things on them that you don't think you have, holding them up on a pedestal, or you are pissed off at yourself or a person that you think separate than you for something that you think they did, or a quality you think they have, or an action that they took that you think is real and that brings to you a reaction, and hence blame and guilt, etc. And of course, that's the basic teaching of the Course in Miracles, is to go beyond the sight of guilt or the thought somebody did something wrong and therefore have sinned, etc. And healing the mind to go to true perception, which in Awakening Together we describe as the first awakening. And later the second awakening is awakening to consciousness itself. And so in a sense, both of those were touched on in different ways in the reading. But as we do this, it brings us pain. And this pain can be a gift to us, as we all know. The purpose of pain in the body is to bring your attention to an area that needs to heal. It hurts, so your attention goes to it. If I hurt my hand, my attention goes to it almost involuntarily to maybe put a bandage around it or whatever, put it in a sling so it can stay out of further damage and it can heal. It can be at rest and it can heal. The doctor always tells us to lay down and rest so our body may heal. The truth is that our mind heals in the same way. Our mind requires rest to heal. It cannot heal if it's still blaming. There is a point where you must stop. You know, I ran across those pause for inspiration cards as I was sort of cleaning up my condo in preparation to move. The number one, this is Mary Lanahan, I believe is her name. Stop, look within, ask for inspiration. She has this four-step technique for stopping and pausing for inspiration. And of course, this is what we need to do when we're in a process of feeling that we've got a problem with another person or ourselves. And we both are the ones that in positions of getting blamed for things we think we've done as well as us thinking others did. It works both ways, right? Recently, I was the target of a projection on a couple of different times in recent time with coworkers. And I was able to remain still. Fortunately, I did not react or take it personally. And I was able to listen. And the other person that was speaking was able to feel good that I'd heard them. And there was a feeling of healing that had occurred. And on another occasion, a person told me outright that they realized they were projecting, which indicates a great level of maturity on that person's part. But I mean, if you are admitting and owning your projections, that's a huge step to taking responsibility for that unconscious stuff that we all shove down, that we don't want to look at, right? But again, the mind must be at rest to heal. Must be at rest to heal. So these painful moments, these little tweaks of the thorn that is stuck in our skin to call our attention to the fact that the thorn's there are so important. They're so key, so important to us. You know, and this is tied to freedom, and that was one of the main topics I wanted to discuss out of this whole subject matter was about freedom and what that really means. I mean, when we think of freedom, I mean, like we're taught in school, like in government, when we grow up, that freedom is what America stands for. We're free because we can, express our opinions even against the government and not be persecuted for it. We have freedom of religion. We can express opinions about all these things and speak truth to power. We have freedom to choose the career we want to have. And that's great. But the inner freedom, right? Freedom from habits, freedom from all the things that bind us to this, what Rupert Spira called about, you know, the identification, right? And there is a moment in your process of awakening and healing where you realize that this isn't really who you are, you know, kind of like the songs. I don't think the song quite meant it in that way, but this is not my life. Wait a minute. Who am I really? You know, who am I consciousness that's underneath this projection? You know, and what is the truth of myself? You know, this expression of freedom. You know, if we are enslaved by our own unconscious, we're enslaved by the things that we think other people are wrong about. That's the greatest enslavement of our mind. We're not free to express love. It's free to express our heart and extend it. There's little holdbacks that we have. So that's not freedom. And freedom to express opinions and do all those things is more like ultimately builds the false self that ultimately leads to more argumentation between people, unless you know how to agree to disagree and so forth, which is a mature, you know, high human mind quality that not everyone has. Seems like these days it's gotten much worse. But all the more reason to transcend that and to stay centered in the very thing that we all have in common, past the sight of our personalities, past the sight of our false beliefs, the truth that we are consciousness, the truth that we are one. That is the truth of ourself. Truth can't be argued with.
Unmuted.
It leaves everyone speechless. It brings quiet. Mm. It brings calm. It's the trump card. No reference to the president intended. it was just, you know, it's what's real. And that light that's within us is not the self that we think we are. It's our very thinking that hides that light from ourselves, that leads us to the differences, the attachment to our opinions, the attachment to our religion, the attachment to our political ideas. Regina shared her experience in New York with a guy walking by the Trump Tower and flipping it off as he walked by. You know, there's endless division that can be created, like a kaleidoscope. Do you ever look through one of those as a kid and you see all these beautiful colors all mixed around, all this kaleidoscope? So that can either be beautiful, or each little square of color can be fighting with each other little square of color. So the thinking is the blanket that we cover over perfection with. That's the blanket. Now, we think blankets keep us warm when we go to bed, but this blanket keeps us hidden from the light. This blanket needs to come off. And when we do these projections and we think others have, you know, acted in a way, and we make up a story about why we think they've acted that way, we take it personally, or something we've done, someone else took personally and mistakenly, and you didn't mean it that way at all, but they took it that way because they projected, as we all do. This is where the thinking covers the blanket, and it keeps the awareness of this truth, of this connection, away from the experience of the person. You know, and in spiritual terms, we think of that as sleep. Consciousness sleeps. And as Rupert Spira talked about, it's not that there's it's a re-recognition of what's already there. It's a recognition. There's not any real separation that is healed. It's merely a awakening from a slumber, or a recognition, a re-recognition of self. So that light that's shining within us, that thing we call truth, is covered over with our fantasies when we start thinking, like a little wind-up toy. You ever have those toys as a kid? You pull it, rat, 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 shrink, rat, 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 rat. And so we start these scripted thinking patterns that were pre-programmed from habitual stuff in our own life. Rise above. Go within. Rise above this. Watch it. When you do that, it weakens. You take the battery out of the toy. You defund the television account, the television station, so it can't broadcast anymore. And that little light that starts shining, because it must shine. It is truth. And in doing so, we prepare our mind to see only truth. We prepare our mind to be in a space where we can be only love and see only love, where we don't get pissed off anymore. The purification process ends. It winds down. We begin, we go through a process of questioning every belief, but we eventually abide in the consciousness. And that's what my prayer was about this morning, was about, and then the very last part of it was about abiding, which is ultimately where we all wind up. We eventually do get to the other shore. And you need to get out of the canoe and put the paddle back in the canoe and be in the abiding. And Regina teaches us that we can stunt ourselves if we think we still need to hold on to that boat and that paddle. There's a time when we need to just let it be and abide. But always be aware that, you know, the slipping back can occur, right? Until you're fully 100% all the way awakened. I think it's possible for people to slip. Until it's, you know, it's like you can't ever think you know. Oh, I got that figured out. Yeah, I did that one already. Yeah. And then, boy, are you in for a surprise when it comes back, right? We've all experienced that. You know, it feels like this topic may be going back to the very beginning, but it's really not, because the spiritual growth is a spiral. It's a spiral. We come back. We come back to the same points over and over again. All these spiritual teachings are really just one teaching said in 1,000 different ways, in the hope that you'll catch it, we'll get it, we'll receive it, we'll let it in. You know, I've learned so much from Regina's guidance about contemplation and the importance of really being at rest and bringing and letting in those teachings and living them. And letting nothing go unexamined within myself. Even this whole idea of projection, even if you're admitting your projection, it's not enough to just admit it and say, oh yeah, I'm projecting, and then go back to the same way you were. You will feel a little relief from admitting that, but you must examine. You must keep looking with a sinless attitude. You're not guilty. You're not bad. Have a loving heart as you look at yourself. And you'll also have a loving heart with others too. And this is what I practice. This is how I've gotten where I'm at with purification, because I have been willing to do it. I've been willing to look and admit in a loving way and know I'm not wrong for doing that. It's okay. I was just mistaken. That's all. You know, and this is that greater freedom I have, like freedom to have someone project something and I not have to react to it. I can listen. I can be at peace and let healing occur. That's freedom. Instead of, yeah, you're not right. That's, you know, start fighting back. You know, instead of doing that, I could be at peace. I can't buy that. That can't come from reading a book either. That only can come from my willingness to actually look and be compassionate. You know, any teaching, any book, even the words I'm saying now, can't change you. You know, nothing's going to change you but your own internal practice of it. You know, that's the only thing that's going to make any real difference in the true freedom you experience day to day. You know, that light of God that's within us all, the Son of God, consciousness itself, is free. That principle of freedom echoes throughout everything we are and be. That light we have, and if you've ever gone deep in meditation, you will see a light. And that light is the most beautiful thing you'll have ever seen. But it's also the very light that, if you step into it, will completely dissolve the false self. And there is fear that comes up, because until we've let go of it, like Stephen Hawking says, David Hawking says, 85% of the people that feel that fear turn back. I'm hoping to be in the 15% that actually walk through. And I'm preparing myself by being willing and being in that space of willingness and willing to walk through fear and walk through the discomfort. And with God at my side, with the Holy Spirit at my side, Jesus, Buddha at my side, I'm never alone through the process. We're never alone, ever. This light that's within all of us is freedom. We've got to welcome the light. Here's the thing, is we have to welcome this light. If we're not welcoming it and wanting it to come in, you know, this gift from God, this freedom, this light, this gift we've been given, this is extended from our Father, from God, who created us, who we really are, consciousness, not our personalities, created who all of us really are. We must welcome this light. In order to trust my brother, I have to welcome the light within me. If I doubt my brother, I'm doubting the light in me. I can't see the light in one brother and think they're awesome and then think another person's full of shit. Doesn't work like that. I can't do that. Everyone is equal in God. Everyone has to be equally deserving of my, what I identify as my light, and I love to be extended to them. This is freedom. It's the laying down of this withholding, of the coalescing, of the identification with the body mind that Rupert's, I was talking about, that is where we're headed. Instead of justifying ourselves, let's recognize ourselves. That's what's coming right now. We can justify ourselves, or we can recognize our capital S self. Justify lower self S, or recognize uppercase S. What do we want to do? Justify or recognize, right? Death, suffering, life, freedom. Those are the choices we've got. It's not in our best interest to judge. It really isn't. It is not in our own best interest to put the blanket over the light, to be anywhere but in that loving space, to accept, I don't know. I wasn't right. I didn't have it figured out. The mystery is the answer. The mystery knows. Light knows. Light will tell me what to say. I deliberately, for this service today, didn't prepare one thing. Everything I'm saying right now is just coming to me right now. I have some help by looking at NTI in the reading, but 99% of this whole service today is just right now in the moment, completely unprepared physically. So I want to be an example of that willingness that I'm talking about. So I'm living what it is I'm saying. You know, that faith, that willingness to put yourself on the line and trust God in the moment is, it's a lot of fun. It's amazing. I mean, yeah, you risk screwing up, you risk being wrong, but when you have faith and willingness, I find that it's actually not that hard at all. You know, that light from God, our Father, was placed inside of us deeply and is always there to be accessed, particularly when we're having a problem. These problems are such gifts to us that we have with our loved ones, that we have with the people we're in significant relationships with us. That's so much of a gift. It's showing us something that can be healed. We must have faith at those times. And no matter how far along you think you are, it can still come. There can still be some, even the most subtle reaction. And they do get subtler as some of the bigger ones get checkboxed off. But those subtler ones are still the same. There's no level of difference, really, in the end. That light in us must shine. It is truth. We welcome it. Beyond searching is finding. And in that finding is truth. And that truth doesn't have a name. It doesn't have a time and it doesn't have a place. Because it's everywhere. And it is beyond time. We have to want to be healed like the next breath. We have to want this. It has to be in us to want. the incredible inspiration that we find from hearing each other share in the sanctuary and open our hearts is so important. It helps us. We move with that. We move with our brothers here and everywhere that we encounter. And I'm very grateful for all the support and the connection I have with everyone here. Because truth for me in my life has pretty much been all I've ever been interested in. You know, I've had a lot of what you'd consider mystical experiences that have fueled me and inspired me along the way. Auspicious things on auspicious dates. I've had a lot of things that occur in my life that have told me that, you know, hey, awaken, all right? Nothing else is more important than that. Every time I've strayed in any slight way, I experience so much pain. Whatever path I particularly am on is not one I don't have a choice to deviate from this. I just don't. It's not that I would even want to. It's like we're way past the point of no return. There is no going back. There's only going forward. And that going forward is going within with courage, with willingness, not alone, with God, holding the hands of all of our support here. It is our choice. I don't want anything to be hidden from myself anymore. I don't. Do you? Do you want to be healed? Really? Look at your life. Look at the decisions you make. Look at how you act and how you are. This is where the honest truth is. Do you doubt yourself? Do you doubt your brother? That's different than questioning. Questioning leads to recognition. Doubt keeps you in justification. Do I want to justify or do I want to recognize? Right? Which one? Everything I see from these eyes is God. If I'm seeing anything but that, that is to be healed, right? If you're a Jesus person, have faith in Jesus. If you're a Holy Spirit person, have faith in Holy Spirit. If you're just a God person, have faith in God. If you're a Creator person, have faith in the Creator. Whatever word you use for it, doesn't matter. The light is within you. It is here. You can feel it right now. You know, all the ascended masters that are not in time are accessible to you at any time. When I was in Tiru, I felt very connected to Ramana. Jesus is accessible at any time. I've had many experiences of feeling very connected and with Jesus within my own being. And it's amazing how our life with everyone around us, our brothers, our neighbors, is enhanced, you know, and really amplified in terms of the positive connection and the light that shines and the freedom we feel when we face that shadow with willingness. Because if we're not accepting it, if we're not welcoming that light, we're pushing it away. There's no in between. You're either welcoming it, right, or you're pushing it away, one of the two. Have faith in the process. The process is written into your heart. The process is written into my heart. It's there. These books, these teachings, even what I'm saying now, anything we listen to is helpful to us, but we have to walk it. That truth that's written on our heart is always accessible. What Ajahn calls vanilla awareness, generic, non special. There's no brand name to it. It's just there. It's obvious, right? It's the elephant in the room. It's what's been there the whole time. So us giving up our coverings, pulling the blanket off, embracing the willingness to look at the shadow, let go of any thought that we think we know, which the further along we go, the more we learn, the more number of times we do the Course in Miracles, whatever it is, the more times we read NTI, we can think we know, we can slip into that. For me, this the topic has brought to me a renewal of the practice of the not knowing. Now I have a thought that as I read and restudy and recontemplate material, I'm studying a lot with Inner Ramana right now, that this will help me to not know more and not know more and not know more instead of thinking that I know more and know more and know more. It's moving me in the inward direction of not knowing. And I'm excited that, you know, today I did have a few concerns about presenting today that I wouldn't have enough to say, or that I wouldn't, words wouldn't come or something, but I don't have any problem at all. They seem to be flowing wonderfully in this presentation today, in this sermon today here in the gathering, in the sanctuary. There was a teaching in Inner Ramana that I was studying this week that described the stages that we go through as we awaken. And the first one is as a resistor. And the second one is, let me look. What was this? Oh, yes, the doubter. And then the third one is the abider. And I sent Regina a funny text. I said, wait a minute, that spells out RDA. Resistor, doubter, abider. That's RDA. Isn't that funny? So that as we are a resistor, that's us identifying as the body. That's us reacting, getting pissed off, pissing others off, you know, caught in all the identification with ourself as a body, as a separate being. The doubter is when we're starting to doubt, is this really true? Is this belief I have that I suck really true? Is this belief that I think you're an a-hole really true? Maybe not, you know? Maybe you're a being of light. Maybe you're a son of God after all, no matter what you've done or said. And then the last step is the A, being an abider. An abider. We're abiding in God. So there's productive doubting. And there's unproductive doubting. The productive doubting is me doubting that these false beliefs are true, or that I really am a body, or this isn't my life. I'm not really all these things in this body and doing all this stuff. And then there's the unproductive doubting, which is, I doubt you. I doubt these teachings are true. These teachings are full of crud. I don't really know if this is true. I'm just wasting my time here. This is just a big waste of time. That's unproductive doubting. That's the ego crying, trying to stay relevant, to keep its funding so it can continue its operation, right? Like a government program. If you defund a program, it goes away. It can't last. So by letting go of the doubting and moving to that productive doubting, if this doubting is really true, we can step away, right? From our tapes and our little wind-up doll and wind-up toy mind that, gosh darn it, if it doesn't say the same thing every time, just like a wind-up toy. We just loved those as kids, didn't we? We thought that was the funniest thing and the coolest thing to wind that little toy up and hear it say what it said. I thought that was so fun, didn't we? Well, maybe kids today don't have wind-up toys anymore, but at least when I was growing up, I did. But as adults, our wind-up toy is our mind. One of the very powerful insights I had during an enlightenment intensive that I attended at Jack and Katrine's CASA, this was a 5-day, or I don't remember how many days it was, we did a ton of these dyad work. I was shown from this place that I can't quite describe how the mind is a toy. And I had the feeling like, oh, little children playing with their toy, like something like that. Like, it's such a pale thing compared to reality. We have no comprehension of how pale it really is. I just got a glimpse. But that was very inspiring to me, even that little glimpse. And I also experienced the sight of the true light of self as well during that series of days, a glimpse of the light of the true self, which is both beautiful and terrifying, because if I would have stepped into it, the self that is thinks it's Jay McCormick would cease to be instantly. So maybe I'll work up to that 15% out of the 85% that run away from the true self when they're faced with it. I'm still working that up. I'm still not in 100% willingness to have the ego death. I'm stepping into it, though. I'm stepping forward into it, welcoming the light, just like the teaching today is bringing to us, welcoming the light, welcoming this freedom. This is the freedom. This is the freedom. This is the freedom. Abiding, letting go, welcoming the light, holding your brother blameless, facing the self, being with him. I want healing. I don't know. Everything I read is to bring me closer to not knowing and into the mystery and centered in the moment. So with that, I will wrap up today's service, and we will now move on to the next step, which is to, we will just sort of soak all this in. And if you want to donate, you can. We do exist off of your donations. Dawn will post the link to the donations if you would like to. And I'll turn it over to Lynn for our contemplation song. I'll go ahead and share my screen here.
They slip away, they pass, they slip away across the universe.
The sorrow waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Across the universe, thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letter box. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jack Blue.
Nothing's gonna change.
Thank you, Fiona Apple, for that beautiful voice. Open it up now to sharing. Anyone like to take the mic? We've got about 9 minutes left or so. Anyone wants to raise their hand? I don't see any hands up yet. That was Fiona Apple, Cheryl. It was on YouTube. Regina, your mic.
All right. Good morning, Jay. And good morning, everyone. first of all, Jay, I want to say, that was perfect. You know, I heard you say that, you know, other than, of course, being familiar with the reading, and of course, doing your own daily work within a Ramana, you didn't really prepare specifically for today's weekly gathering. You just kind of let it flow. And that was obvious to me. I think, you know, if some of you may know this, some of you may not, but at the beginning of today's weekly gathering, there was a video playing on the radio. So Muji was speaking. And so we got that taken care of. We got Muji turned off. But, you know, that's exactly how Muji shares, obviously, right? Muji does not prepare for his sharing. He speaks in the moment and lets the moment speak through him. And that's why Muji is so clear. And, you know, that exact same clarity came through you, Jay, because the truth is it was the same teacher. You know, we get all confused about bodies. We think Muji is one teacher, Jay is another, Regina is another, Adyashanti is another. But, of course, in Miracles Manual for Teachers is very clear with us. There's only one teacher. And, you know, a good way to describe that teacher is the moment. You know, when we put ourselves completely aside, and I just want to highlight those words, put ourselves completely aside, and we let that moment come through us, that moment is the exact same moment that comes through Muji. I mean, there's literally no difference between Jay or Muji or anyone else in that moment. And we don't want the ego to sneak back around and take credit for that. You know, we want to remember it was the moment. In fact, NTI says something like, you know, thank the Holy Spirit for the teaching and thank the empty shell for being empty, right? The empty shell would be Jay. So thank you, Jay, for being empty so that the Holy Spirit or the moment could come through and speak. I also want to say that I thought everything that you said was 100% right on, obviously, because it was the moment speaking. One thing that really stood out for me, and I wrote it on the board, was, you know, that one thing we really want to look at within ourselves is, do we want to justify our behavior or do we want to look at ourselves? I don't remember exactly how you said that. Instead of justifying ourselves, let's recognize ourself with a capital S. There we go. Instead of justifying ourselves, let's recognize ourself. I just think that was absolutely perfect. This is what we really all want to do. We all want to have, it's what I call humility. We all want to have that humility to be constantly accepting the atonement for ourselves in the language of the Course. And that should be first and foremost in our minds at all times. You know, the ego, as we step into this retreat house endeavor, and, you know, and Cheryl and Jacqueline and Jay and Shauna and me, especially the five of us have the ability to completely ruin this endeavor, if we be in our egos. And so I think the five of us, especially, I mean, this teaching was for everyone, but I think the five of us especially need to listen to this. The retreat house opens at the end of this week. We have our first guests arriving on Friday, and we need to be the environment of the retreat house. We cannot be in our ego. We cannot be in our ego. And it's critically important now. So, Jay, I want to thank you very much for your sharing. And I actually would invite Shauna, Cheryl, Jay, Jacqueline, and myself to listen to it again before Friday. Because I actually think it was specifically for us in this time period with our retreat house opening this week. So let's each commit to listening to it again. And then we'll work forward together as a team to remember everything that the moment said to us today. All right. Thank you, Jay. Releasing the mic.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Regina. When I first started being introduced to the idea that the best thing I can do is shut up and get out of the way, that was a hard pill to swallow when I first was exposed to that idea. Well, what do you mean, get out of the way? I thought I was supposed to become wise and all that. And over the years, I came to warm up. And as I let go of the self more, and I asked Regina a question about the empty shell back at the Portland retreat that we had. And I finally come to peace with it. You know, getting out of the way is okay now. I don't have a problem with it. I really appreciate what Regina said, is it wasn't me at all. speaking clearly. I was kind of almost shocked a little bit at what I was saying, to be honest with you. I thought it was really good stuff. I thought I would never be able to come up with something like that. but that's just the way it works, right? The self couldn't ever come up with something like that because it's not from the self. And it's for me as much as it is for everyone. So does anyone else have a hand up? And I hear what you're saying, Regina, about listening to it again, and I will listen to it again. And I hear what you're saying about the retreat center. I will deeply receive that. I want you to know that I take that very seriously. So I want you to know that. Okay, Dove, your mic.
Okay. I don't know. Can I be heard? Hello? Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. First, I want to say, wow, that was a beautiful, beautiful sharing. Thank you so much, Jay. I love the part where you said, and I didn't plan one of these words. Everything was given to me in the moment. And that's what total trust is. And all I can say is as you take your place among the teachers, as Jay did so many years ago, you do develop that total trust that every word, every thought is given to you. That's pretty much why we say take your place among the teachers. The other thing is when you said to still your mind, it reminded me of those people who remember Regina Dornakis at the last Course in Miracles conference in Vegas. She did this whole thing on this pendulum that swings one way and then back the other way. And what we want is that balance, that you stay in the center. You're not moving one way or another. The movement is those justifying. It's the judging good or bad. It's judging opposites, which is really being in conflict with yourself. So as you quiet your mind, you're really letting go of the need to get anything, to judge anything, or even to know anything. Even the idea of knowing something, which is really only the ego's idea. Well, you know, I know what this is for, and I know what that is for. And when I heard you say you must welcome the love in, you welcome it by literally saying, I do not know what anything is for, you know, and that is the royal welcome, because you're actually inviting spirit to speak to you and through you. And with that, Regina, I guess I will be here next Sunday as your reader. I wasn't really sure I could do this, but I am. So thank you so much. I will be here next Sunday. Thank you so much, Jay. Love you all. Thank you. And Cheryl, I love you so much. I know this is your big weekend coming up. I support you totally. Thank you.
Great to see you, Deb, and hear you. That's awesome. Anyone else? Actually, we are time up, so it is 10:30. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us today. And thank you, Regina and for sharing, and Cheryl for reading. And I look forward to being with all of you. What do they call it? IRL, right? In real life, IRL. I want to be with you, IRL. LOL, smiley face. Like, you know, we're moving from the virtual world to the real world, aren't we? Or whatever you want to call it. All right. I will see y'all later. Bye-bye.